All right, we got everything taken care of now. All right, let's get on to Romans. We were talking last week about the adoption. Find me up. I thought we had some. Oh, there they are right there. You have to excuse me. You and I both are fighting the cold. We're fighting it too.
I understand that totally.
We are fighting it. We didn't miss a day of work. Ain't going to miss a day of work today either. But excuse this mess.
You
know, I got plenty of time. What they always say, bless this mess. Well, bless this mess. So, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they called all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, we're talking about the adoption pertaining to Israel. That is, they which are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. All right, so not all Israel is Israel. Israel natural is just as rotten as America natural or any other country natural. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Right.
But now, if you're counted for the seed of the promise is not seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ, and that seed is the Holy Ghost. Right? For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now that's the promise. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, remember, that was Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau came from, you would say, good parents. You know, Isaac and Rebekah. But we know what Esau did. Esau sold his birthright, and Jacob, as we see many times in the, think about this the other day, many times in the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament and just take it without revelation, then I would have picked Esau.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Better guy. Took care of his, he took care of his daddy. Fed him, yeah. Clothed him, done everything his daddy did. Jacob was underneath his mama's coattails, what Brother Brown said, her dress, up underneath the dress, mm-hmm. And a little sissy boy. So which one would you pick? We'd have picked Esau. We'd have picked a lot of the ones in the Old Testament. But without the Holy Ghost, you can't discern that, because we got to see today same things happening. Because Esau, to me, is a type of the anointed ones at the end time. Looked good. Everything was great. He did everything he was supposed to do. But he just couldn't come to that place to where he really wanted that number one birthright. He really didn't care whether that happened to him or not. Well, see, you and I, our birthright is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? So that's our birthright. That we want to claim. Well, Jacob wanted it more than Esau did. All right? So he's interpolating here. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Obviously, before you're born, you can't be good or evil. But when you come into this world, you have a choice. God knew your choice. Therefore, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. According to what? Foreknowledge.
Right.
God foreknew what Esau would do. He foreknew what Jacob was going to do. And I was thinking about this the other day. Why doesn't God, and I told y'all last Sunday, I think, why doesn't God step in? He knows what's going to happen. Why didn't he just, he can't. Because then he would be making you do something.
Right.
He can't step in. Now, he can step in according to your faith and according to the things that you do according to the word. But he can't step in and change. He couldn't change Esau. So, therefore, he could write, Jacob have I loved, before any of them was born. Same way with you and I. If you take this and let me just vanilla this thing. You and I were chosen of God because of foreknowledge, not chosen of God because of any other thing. He looked down through time, saw what you would accept and what you would reject. Therefore, it's all left up to you.
Right.
Okay? So therefore, he could take a piece of the word, the seed, and put it somewhere, but not inside of you like people in the message preach. You can't have eternal life in a sinful body. Inner person. The outer person, this thing still was born in sin, but you understand what I'm saying. Once you're born again, though, like we've been trying to show upstairs, now that you're born again, this guy right here has a straight line to be glorified. It's just going to happen because of what's on the inside.
Right.
But God knew Jacob would continue on. Esau would not. So there's your predestination by foreknowledge. Right? Because he couldn't put Esau right here and just say, all right, Esau, this is what you're going to do. No, he saw what Esau would do. Therefore, he could come back and predestinate. What shall we say then? Look, is there unrighteousness with God? In other words, did he hate Esau because of what he wanted Esau to do? No, he hated Esau because of what Esau did. God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now what is the mercy of God? That's the grace of God. Now what's grace for? Grace for is for things you're going to do, not what you did before.
Right.
You can't ask forgiveness and then go do it. That's what the Catholics do. They go in and, you know, forgive me, Father, I'm going to go murder somebody. Well, you're forgiven, go on. No, you can't do that. No. So, it's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Because remember, the scripture tells us that God is not willing for anybody to perish. In other words, he came to this earth literally to die for every person, but he knew everyone that would and everyone that wouldn't. But he did it anyway. Because he can't stand on the day of judgment and say, okay, these guys right here, I come to get them because they're special. No, I come to get them because they accepted me. You didn't. That's the difference. Like I said, no laundry list of how many people you killed. It's just you rejected Christ. Right?
Yeah.
But God that showeth mercy. And there is mercy for the ones he's going to give a cup of water in my name. Y'all have to excuse me today. Well, even the when we start talking about this fifth seal, man, you're talking about grace to the nth degree. We're going to see that with the fifth seal Jew, because God had to show mercy on them because he made them blind. He blinded them, so it's his fault. Therefore, he makes a judgment for that. He gives them eternal life. He gives them white robes. But now he didn't give them white robes here. He gave them white robes after they've already passed on. So it's really lovely to know that this fifth seal, we're going into another dimension.
No way. Did he blind also the ones that actually took part of the crucifixion?
Yeah, he blinded them all. He blinded all of Israel.
Right, I know. So do those get eternal life? Like the Sanhedrin at that time and all that?
Could if they didn't do like Caiaphas. Now, Caiaphas made his choice.
Right.
Caiaphas is the one that said, let's kill him. All right. But now remember, and we'll get into the fifth seal where Brother Brown talks about, let his blood be on us and our children. And we'll see that all down through the 2,000 years. Look how Israel's, even now, man, Israel is being persecuted. And without the help of the United States, God helping them, they'd be destroyed. They're a little old country not much bigger than Rhode Island compared to America. You know, a little bitty country with just several million people.
All right.
Yet the whole world worries about Israel. Why do they do that? Well, they know there's something supernatural about them, and there is something supernatural about Israel.
Yeah.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even from this same purpose, have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, what did he do? I'm sweating. Joyce is freezing. Build a fire over there. Yeah, June's sweating and I'm sweating. So, but hopefully it's that demon getting out of us. That devil. Leave us. You okay over there?
I was just saying.
Okay, if you get too cold, just stand up and start doing some calisthenics or something. Now look, God didn't make Pharaoh do what he did. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know what God did? God put something before Pharaoh so he can make a choice. He didn't make the choice for Pharaoh. He put something before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, nah, you're not going to do that. All right? Because God didn't whisper in Pharaoh's ear, now Pharaoh, I'm going to... No, he didn't do that. He can't do that. He's not a respecter of persons. Just like me and you, he'll lay something before us to see what we'll do about it, knowing what we're going to do with it at the moment. But it's a journey time. It's a time of I say judgment of us, you know, everything being judged. All right, so, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy. No, wait a minute. Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Because the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God gave Pharaoh a choice.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And he didn't say, all right, I'm going to give you a choice. But you need to tell Moses he can't go. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
God can't do that.
Yeah.
He's a respecter of persons if he did. Yeah. He just, like I said, he laid the plan before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, huh, this is what I'm going to do. All right? Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man. Hey. Thank you. Yea, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You can't do that. Now, most people are going to take this and say, well, this is that line you're talking about, brother, that we can't do nothing but that line because the potter has power over the clay. And make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. By foreknowledge, he can do that. Because if not, then you've got to... But listen, because on the day of judgment, what are they going to say? You made me this way. No. He's going to say, no, I let you come here for you to make a choice.
Right.
And this is the choice you made. And the choice you made is the judgment. Because remember, we judge ourselves. God laid the plan out. We judge ourselves. Okay.
And it says that God hardened his Pharaoh's heart. Is it after Pharaoh made the decision, had the choice? Pharaoh had the choice. God, he couldn't turn back. Pharaoh couldn't turn back. God hardened his heart.
Yes.
To be able to turn back and take a different choice.
Yes, what I mean. He was given the choice. Because Pharaoh said, all right, Moses, go on. In the moment. He said, yeah, Moses, go ahead. Then what happened later? God did. That's what I'm saying, though. God didn't come to Moses. I mean, come to Pharaoh and sit down and go, now, if you let them go, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this one. That's him telling him what to do. He let Pharaoh in his own mind, his own spirit realm, say, hey, I made a boo-boo. I did something. If I let them go, I ain't got nobody to cut my grass and do my flowers. You understand what I mean in the modern time? Right? I ain't got nobody to do my... How am I going to build these big buildings without all these Israelites? And then... That's when God hardened his heart because he knew Pharaoh would never turn back. And I'm telling you, this will help you with predestination and foreknowledge. Brother Branham said one time, I'm just going to paraphrase it. God knew if he gave Pharaoh 1,000,000 years to change his mind, he never would. If he gave Adolf Hitler 10 million years to change his mind, he never would. So therefore, he could judge him by what he did. Because he knew he'd never change his mind. See, that's so sad with people. That's why God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He knew he'd never turn around back to go the other way. Right? He knew that he would call these own plagues down on himself and all those things like that. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another to dishonor? That looks like God made a choice. He made that choice because of you. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath? Didn't say he made them. He endured with them. Why? He gave them time to repent. Every person that ever will come to the white throne judgment, he gives them a space of time to repent.
Yeah.
Now you remember the girl that was supposed to die? And Brother Brown's girl's supposed to die. God let her live. Then about 6 months later, everybody pronounced her healed and all this stuff. And she says, "Mama, I'm going home." I read it the other day.
Oh, she died. She liked to drown the first time.
Yeah, she liked to drown the first time. That's what it was. And they got her back to life. But then we come to the end, 6 more months later, where Brother Brown, they pray for her. And remember, somebody pronounced, then once she went to another place, they pronounced her healed. Brother Brown said, No. That's not what happened. Because Brother Branham pronounced her healed.
That's where he said, "God,
God, you owe me an explanation." That's right. And God, he said, "God, let me stew on that for about 3 months."
Right.
Now, buddy, 3 months is a long time. But when God came to him and said, "Look, I should have took her when she drowned. But I gave her 6 more months to get right with God." Well, see, that was God's mercy, knowing that she would do that. Now, if she'd have never done that, he would have let her die in the swimming pool or wherever she was at, right? Everybody understand that? So God's not a respecter of persons. God can't make you do something that you don't want to do. That's the sovereignty of you. That's why Brother Branham said that you are pretty much a deity yourself. You're God. Bible says you're God. You are God. Because you can pass judgment on yourself or not.
Yes.
Seek the mercy of God. He'll save you. That's how close it is. Because man, look at Adam. Here's Adam, a son of God that can move trees, move the world, move everything, or things on the world. Speak to the storm or whatever, not storm, but speak to the wind and all these things. And all of a sudden one day he takes what Eve did, partook, knowing he shouldn't have done it. To me, I'd have killed both of them and started over again. See, that's not God. God presented it to Adam and Adam took what he took. He presented it to Eve. Eve took what she took. That was the choice. Brother Brown said it was free moral agency then. It's free moral agency now. God never done away with free moral agency. And what is free moral agency? It's what? For you to choose which way you're going to go. So God knowing, and we'll get into this with in the fifth seal, God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured a much long suffering, the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction. He knew what Adolf Hitler was going to do. But those 6 million Jews that Adolf Hitler killed, God's going to give them eternal life. Give them white robes. Because they're part of that blinded group. Because they died for the testimony they held. Not the testimony of Jesus Christ. We'll get into all that in the fifth seal. But the testimony they held. What was their only testimony? We're Jews. Right? We're Jews. So he was long-suffering just to show his... See, to show his apex of grace, he had to let Adolf Hitler do what he did. He had to let Eichmann do what he did. He had to let all the people that persecuted the Jews down through the ages do what they did. To show his power. To show his mercy. To me, to show his mercy. So law of contrast. Brother Brown speaks many times about the law of contrast. You have to have dark to appreciate light. You have to have sin to appreciate getting saved. If not, then you just go continue on just like you are. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So what's he doing? All that's wrath fitted to destruction. That he might make known the riches of glory on the vessels of mercy. We can say today, God's had mercy on us.
Thank you.
Yes.
We accepted his mercy.
Yeah.
Therefore, we come under his mercy. Therefore, we come under his grace. Which he had a foreknowledge prepared unto glory. Even us, now watch Paul, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said in Hosea, or Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, Gentiles, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Remember, Brother Brown said, we weren't even looking for the Messiah. We're not looking for the Messiah. We weren't looking for none of that. Alright? One of my beekeepers has chimed in. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Gentiles, we are now the children of God. Alright?
Yes.
How great is that? That's where you see Paul has went from the Jews over to the Gentiles to take out that 2,000 years in the Daniel 70 weeks, that 2,000 years of Gentile age, seven church ages. All right. Then what's he going to do? He's going to come right back into the talking to the Jews. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. There's a remnant going to be saved. We'll get into the remnant a little bit later. Because you've got to talk about the remnant in the fifth seal. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, that work, that word work is what Brother Dale's been talking about. It's translated as word. A short word. You say, short word. Oh, ours has been real short. But 2,000 years in the scheme of the earth, it's nothing. Very short. Right?
Yes.
But he's not going to just cut it short. He's going to cut it short in righteousness. A group of people is going to realize what's going on, take the word, and we're going to get out of here, and then God's going to deal with the Jews, because he can't deal with the Jews and us at the same time. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and been made like Gomorrah. What's he saying? If there hadn't been a seed in that 2,000 years, when Israel rejected God, he could have ended the world right there. He could have. Because his chosen people rejected him.
That's right.
But there's a remnant, there's a wild olive branch that had to come in, the Gentile bride. Because remember, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed everything except for Lot and his two daughters. Well, his wife, but she didn't make it all the way out. What shall we say then? Here's his whole summation. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. In other words, right up here at the top, he's talking about the Jews had the adoption, they had the law, they had the Torah, they had all the promises, they had all these things. Gentiles didn't have nothing. They were dogs. They were to be destroyed. All them ites in the Old Testament, they were Gentiles.
Right.
All those ites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, and now we're fighting websites. So,
right.
All them ites.
That's right.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Because really, that's why Jesus, in his mind, I'm going to step into the mind of God for a minute, in the mind of Jesus. Jesus is sitting there walking through his people. They're always needing a sign. They're always needing a prophecy. They're always needing to throw something on them. They're always needing their hands laid on. Jairus, come and lay hands on my child. But he talks to a Gentile one day, and the Gentile says, you ain't got to come in. You're a man of authority. I'm a man of authority. I say go. I say come. In other words, he said, you say go, demon. You say come, demon. In other words, he knew Jesus had some kind of power that didn't need a connection. He said, I found no greater faith in Israel than even the Syrophoenician woman. What an example. She said, son of David, have mercy. Never paid her any attention.
Yeah.
Had no right. But when she said, my Lord. Mm-hmm. See, that covered Gentiles, Jews, and everybody else. He turned and he said, why do I need to get, in other words, why am I giving you the Old Testament promises when you're a dog? You're a Gentile. You have no lineage. You have no nothing. She said, yes, Lord, but we'll just take the crumbs that comes off the master table. What in Jesus' mind, he's like, man, I've never seen this kind of faith.
Right.
And what was it all? Every one of them were Gentiles. Did ever that happen to? So that's what God wanted. They obtained righteousness by faith. The Jews were laying back on, well, we've got the Torah, we've got the Ten Commandments, we've got the promises, we've got the. That's why Jesus said, yeah, you got all that, and I sent prophets to tell you that, and you killed them.
Yeah.
And now you paint their tombs. And say, oh, poor old Isaiah. When Isaiah was, as a young boy, was a prophet, they cut him in pieces and buried him, killed him. Because of what he said. What say we then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, see, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They're still in the Old Testament. They're still in the Torah. They're still looking for a Messiah. Wherefore? Question mark. Because they sought it not by faith. That's just the whole thing. They sought it not by faith. But as it were by the works of what? The law. Going right back to the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So they sent. God sent the stone, the revelation. God sent the man, came himself, to his people, walked in the temple, talked with them, tried to convince them, tried to preach to them, tell them who he was, and they stumbled right over the very man that was standing there. They stumbled all over him and called him everything but the right thing. But he was given, but look, it was prophesied already that he's going to come to Zion, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Why? They hated him. The Jews hated Jesus. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now watch Paul says here just for a second. We'll go upstairs so I can save my voice for this afternoon. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Because Paul grew up with all of Israel. Paul was a Jew. He grew up in the temple with the Torah and with the law and with the... But when he received the Holy Ghost, he's like, man. In other words, you know what he's saying? Why can't y'all see this? He said, why can't you see this? And I'm sure the Lord told him, only by the Holy Ghost are you going to see this. That's why he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles took it by faith. You and I have to take everything we believe by faith. We never saw Brother Branham, but we know he was here. We never saw Jesus Christ. We never saw Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, all these. We never saw him.
Right.
So it's all by faith. And if it's, listen, I sent a link to this the other day. It is hearsay until it is a revelation. It's all hearsay until it's a revelation. When it becomes a revelation, it's not hearsay anymore. What you have agrees with what's being said, and that's a revelation. Other than that, it's hearsay.
Yeah.
And you can't have hearsay in the court of law. You can only have a true witness. That's why the Bible says in Revelations 3:14, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Yeah. You and I are the true witness. That Christ was here, because he said he'd come back. He said he'd live inside of you. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Hey, you won't find no better devout than the Orthodox Jews over there right now. They live that Torah to the law. They live that law to the law.
Yeah.
But what's it doing them? It's not bringing Christ to them, that's for sure. The only way they're going to get Christ is when he comes to us and takes us out of here, then he's going to go to them. By the promise in the Bible. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, we be Abraham's seed. We have Moses. I've always said old Caiaphas walked up one day just like we do. He walked up, he said, I got Moses' quote book. I got Moses' quote book.
That's right.
And they didn't have a clue what Moses was talking about. We walk around saying, well, I got a quote. I got a Brother Brown quote. Well, if you don't know, if it's not revealed to you, then it's just a quote. It's hearsay.
What does it mean when it says they have a zeal of God? Now, you would think that that would be what they would need.
No, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
What does that mean, but not according to knowledge? What knowledge?
Holy Ghost knowledge.
Revelation.
Holy Ghost revelation knowledge. They have a knowledge of the truth, but not according to knowledge. You got to see that that's a twofold meaning. See, it says, look, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, comma, but not according to knowledge. It can't be that they don't know what the Torah is because they can recite it.
Intimate
word for word.
Intimate relationship, no.
That's right. It's the knowledge that God's already come. God was Jesus Christ. He's already come. He's already died on the cross. They don't have that knowledge. They still think he's coming. Now they got a knowledge of his coming. Oh yeah. And they know, like I've said many times before, they know Elijah's got to be here before he can come. They just didn't get the fourth coming of Elijah. They're looking to the fifth coming of Elijah. Everybody all right with that? Because every year that Elijah cup sits on their table and they're waiting on Elijah to come and sit down to that table, take that cup and drink it, and then the Messiah's coming. Because
yeah.
They literally go outside their door, tradition. See there, they have a knowledge. Tradition, they open the door, they look down the street this way and this way, they close the door, they take the cup, set it up on the shelf, and say, until next year. Whatever that is in their Hebrew tongue. Until next year. Because they know that Elijah's got to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They know that's Malachi 4. Mm-hmm. To them. You understand? To them, that's Malachi 4. But when the two prophets go to Israel and start preaching that Malachi 4 is the fourth coming of Elijah, and they miss it, and here's his message. They're going to say, oh man, and they're not going to see William Branham, they're going to see Jesus Christ. Because this message is not William Branham, this message is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Is that all right? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What's God's righteousness? He came to earth to save them. And they turned him down. And going about to establish their own righteousness. Like I said, we got Moses, you know, we Abraham's our father. That's what he talks, what they told him. He said, if you'd understood Abraham, you'd understood me. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Right, here's your answer. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All right, let's go.
God bless your voice.
Yeah, I'll be okay.